This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech, show about technology and ministry. This is episode 415 for Tuesday, October 20th, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined across the great Mississippi River by the lovely, the talented Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are things in New Ulm?
Things in New Ulm are just great, Martin. I am coming off of a wonderful time at the Minnesota District Lutheran Teachers Conference that was held last week over at Bethany Lutheran College. Always nice to be on the campus at Bethany, and I got to connect with some really incredible classroom superheroes, those people we call teachers normally, and share a little bit of Google goodness with them. We went through all of the different Google apps, everything but Google Classroom. I actually connected with Wells Techer Rachel Pearson, who was leading a Google Classroom session at the same conference. So lots of great opportunity there. I told them a little bit about our 3D printer and gave away some Marvins in the process, and it was all fun. We all learned a lot together.
I bet there was chocolate there too.
Actually, there was a good amount of chocolate. Yep. Always got to keep them happy. So, privileged to have that opportunity to actually be face to face with people. Normally I'm just dealing with folks in a virtual way, and so
like this,
always
yeah.
fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have to dust off any of your Google skills? I'm assuming Google changes from year to year, where you got to kind of get up to speed and, well, what did they do here? What kind of interesting things did you do there, especially in the area of education?
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of the big advances this year were in the enhancements they've done in Classroom. We did a show on that not too long ago, and luckily Rachel was on hand to lead that discussion. They did make some pretty exciting form changes, and forms is one of my very favorite sessions to share with folks, but I stuck with the old way of doing things. I didn't convert to new Google Forms at the last minute. So
good move.
I still have plenty to learn there, and like you said, they're always changing. So
yeah,
always
I had
good
some
to
fun.
Get
yeah, I had some fun today. I was prepping. I'm doing a couple of presentations for the Wisconsin State Teachers Conference at the end of next week, and I'm doing one on flipped classroom technology, and pulled out an old Chromebook. This is one of, I think this is like a second gen. There was one before this, which wasn't good. There's a Samsung. I forget what model this is, but fired it up. It didn't load right away, so I had to rebuild it, which took all of like 10 minutes, which is awesome. Logged in and really kind of refreshed myself with how cool Chromebooks are and how self-sufficient you can be, especially if you live in the cloud. I would think even for teachers, but just for general usage, if you've got yourself invested in Google Apps and, you know, cloud technology, even like Office 365 like we do, it's not that hard to live off of a Chromebook. And just the startup speed and the ease of use and maintenance. And this is a pretty low-powered, low-cost device. I was just looking at a review for, I think it was an Acer that's like $200 that has a touch screen and folds back on itself. So you kind of have the tablet experience as well. Just amazing what Google is doing. And they're really dominating the education market right now with these Chromebooks. But just kind of had a nice experience with it today as I was, you know, because I wanted to kind of test out whether you could flip a classroom just with a Chromebook. And yeah, there are online tools that it's real easy to do with. So.
Absolutely. My oldest is a student here at MLC, and he bought a Chromebook before the beginning of fall semester this year, and he loves it. He has a really nice high-end laptop, loves to do all the online gaming and stuff like that. So, you know, it's loaded up with media card and all that kind of stuff. But he didn't want to bring it to school. It's too heavy. It takes too much power. It gets hot, you know, and the Chromebook is just right up his alley. So he's definitely enjoyed it. He got one of those, you know, higher end Chromebooks, spent all of $250 or something, but it's got a HD screen. It's a nice
touch
little
screen
computer.
Or no?
Yeah, I think his is touchscreen.
Okay,
so.
Cool. Very nice. Yeah, it's really has kind of changed the technology in the classroom for sure. Just a lot of changes. So, and we talk a lot about Google and Chromebooks, and I'm sure that will continue to be the case. But today, we have a very special anniversary show. This is the first anniversary, kind of a new thing, where we're bundling up, batching up all the community feedback from the last 4 weeks, from the last month, and doing it all in a show. So we really don't have a theme. We're going to be all over the place. And it was kind of fun prepping for this show, too, where lots of different contributors, lots of different technologies, thoughts, approaches to both education, ministry, etc., all rolled into one. So, you know, we're going to bounce around a lot and look at some of these things that other people have found and shared with us. Sally, maybe before we do that, we should remind everybody how you can contribute to the show, because this is going to be a monthly thing that we're going to do with community feedback. We want you to contribute throughout the week or throughout the weeks. And then we're going to, you know, again, do this kind of community feedback show. But the way to do that is, one way is to go to our very handy show notes page. Wellstech.wells.net is the address. And on that page, you're going to not just find the show notes, and they're all in chronological order, and you can click a button there and leave a comment. But you can look across the top and find your favorite way to connect with the show. So we have Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, Instagram. We have the listserv that a lot of people are using. All, I think, I don't know if we've got them all, but I think we do. Every, you know, every one of those social media or conduits to the show were used to build the community feedback that we have today. And email. wellstech@wells.net. So that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yep. Always great to hear from folks and to learn from real life experiences out there in the church and school ministry areas.
So why don't we start, and I don't know that these are in any particular order. I think we just kind of stream of consciousness, put them in our mind map, but looks like Digo is first up. Who's who was using Digo the past month and talking to us?
Well, actually, a couple of links were shared by Pastor Emil Burgess, who serves down in Caledonia, Wisconsin. The first one has to do with having an emergency plan. And it was kind of a personal thing. He said he and his family were looking at what to do during an emergency, and they came across an iPhone/iPad app called Your Plan. And it looks to be something that would be useful for anyone to just spend a little time checking out what to do in case of a disaster. And, you know, I think back to when Hurricane Katrina hit and the congregation down in New Orleans and how their members were all scattered and they were just trying to figure out where everybody was and if everybody was accounted for and okay. And it would be nice to have some kind of a way of checking in or whatever, even at a congregational level in the case of a disaster hitting or whatever. So certainly something worth spending some time on personally and possibly at a congregation level as well.
Yeah, one thing that kind of crossed my mind as I was looking through that app, which actually looks very useful and very cool, is one that I had heard about maybe a month or two ago. The American Red Cross has a whole series of apps, first aid apps. They have an emergency app, hurricane app, tornado app, earthquake, flood, wildfire, swimming apps, all kinds of things that are very specific to things that might go wrong, I guess, and gives you kind of a drill down way to for treatment or how to react to things. You know, so what do you do if a hurricane's coming? What are the things that you need to think about? What if somebody has lost consciousness? What are or has some kind of shock to a bee sting or whatever? Just kind of a cool thing to have on your phone. You've usually got your phone with you, so you've got these things at your fingertips. Just click on whatever it is that you're looking for, do a quick search. They have step-by-steps for treatment. They have videos that you can watch, those kinds of thing. Seems like this would be a good app to have in the classroom for some of these things that could happen right there on campus. So that's we'll put a link to this in the show notes as well. Redcross.org is the website, but if you just do a search, I believe it's Android and iOS, these apps are, and Kindle are all available. So just a little free one there for you.
Excellent. We also had a page tagged via Digo from Pastor Burgess called Airtable, and this was new to me. It's basically an online database. It says, organize anything you can imagine. Airtable is a modern database created for everyone. You can get in for free. They do have professional levels of payment as well. It says it's as simple as a spreadsheet. You can work together collaboratively and manage your data from anywhere. So it is cloud-based, and you can do it on all different devices and things. Emil's comments were, he said it seems to be primarily a database, but has great flexibility and incorporates a lot of collaboration features. It may work as a prospect database for some ministries. I'm exploring using it for client tracking for our local pregnancy help center. And Emil just commented he'd love to hear if anyone else is using it and what their experiences are. So thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah, this looks really cool and user-friendly. Databases can be scary to a lot of people, especially those who don't work in IT. But databases are really essential to information management at the church or school level or organization level. And this one looks actually very well designed and very simple icons, task driven. So you can kind of say, well, I'm interested in doing this kind of thing. I'm tracking this kind of information, and they've got it all categorized by personal, by human resources, event planning, project management. That may be something we'd want to look at for our book that we're writing, Sally. Software development. Even they have some packs. There's a pack called nonprofit there, I noticed. So very interesting. I'd be interested to know how far you can go without having to put some greenbacks on the barrel head.
Yep, they have a pricing page here that you can check out. It starts at $12 per user per month, and it just looks like it has to do with the number of requests and records and things that you're storing in the database. So it's possible some of our databases wouldn't be that large.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Stay under that free cap. So
yeah, absolutely. So cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Emil. Appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. One more from Digo that I want to share is something I heard about through my contacts here at MLC. It's actually a Windows Microsoft Surface app that works on the screen, on the tablet screen, where people can draw notations on staff paper, and it actually digitizes that for you. So if you're writing music, you can do it right there on the screen and easily have it turn into digital, real, I don't know, character recognition almost concept. Yep. With the music notation that you're writing.
Right.
Yeah. So they're considering this. Actually, I think they're considering Surface tablets as a potential computer for professors in the future, and considering this software for the music department, obviously, where lots of good, cool music goes on here at MLC. Yeah.
I don't know about you, Sally, but I'm really happy that there is some competition to Apple's iPad, and the Surface seems to be one of those tools that's getting a little bit of, getting some mojo back and being a viable option for some of our churches or schools. We've got a number of people here in the Senate office that are now using Surface. So just makes some sense. It's a full operating system. You're not limited by, an app ecosystem. So this is a great example of an application for that. So cool.
Yeah, pretty amazing technology.
Shall we move to our next? I think we're done with Digo, right?
That's what I read. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go on to Twitter. First one from Twitter is something from Church Mag, useful and free Greek study apps. And this is a Greek student. He's third semester of graduate studies. And he is interested in not only technology, but he says free or cheap technology. And what he wants to do is stay up to date and keep his Greek skills sharp. So he went and found all these free Greek study tools. So there's a Greek Paradigms study app. There's a New Testament Greek parser app, a Greek reference. On the Android side, he found a Greek New Testament, and on the iOS side, a Greek verb chart. Even references a tool that we've talked about before, Sally, Quizlet, where it's kind of a flashcard app where you can put together, or there's some pre-made ones, of Greek vocabulary. So quiz yourself on Greek vocabulary, and then a Greek text in what's called the Blue Letter Bible, that is available on iOS. So just a nice little article on a nice website that you may want to bookmark, Church Mag, churchm.ag. They put out a pretty steady flow of some useful blog posts that talk about how technology could be used in ministry. And this was just another example of that. Second article I wanted to reference is text messaging, using text messaging. The name of the article is Three Ways Your Church Can Use Text Messaging. It's a quick read, probably worth the 3 minutes it would take to go through it. Three categories they talk about: reminders, not just reminders about services, but they make a recommendation to maybe plot out 5 or 6 upcoming events and then schedule these text reminders that can automatically go out for each of those events. So if there's a, you know, a men's Bible study or a senior breakfast or an outing, just plan those events and plan to send out the text. Obviously, you need to kind of prep your congregation or the group that you're sending it out to that this might be happening. But a very instant way to communicate, and probably more effective in many cases than email. Text messaging is pretty ubiquitous, and everybody is, I think, pretty familiar with the concept and comfortable with it. Another way they suggest using it is staying organized. They say, ever been involved in a picnic, a play, or a fundraiser? Ever been responsible for coordinating lots of people? And you need to communicate with some immediacy. That's a good maybe use case for text messaging, because you've got that tool right on hand, and they have the tool there, that communication tool in their pocket. And then finally, group communication. So if you've got a group outing, youth group outing, whatever, you need to stay coordinated, make some plans to maybe take advantage of that technology to do some group messaging and keep everybody on the same page and in the same location. I think I'm still up with Quiz Up.
Before you go on, though, Martin, I just wanted to interject that we had someone present at Wells Tech Conference this summer about mass texting tools, and he specifically brought out Celly, CEL.ly. And I think it's really geared toward teacher classroom texting, but potentially could be morphed to use in a congregation setting. And I believe it's free. So if you're looking to investigate, maybe that's a good place to start. There's probably many of them out there these days, but that was one in particular that seemed to do the trick. So
who presented that? Do you remember?
I think it was Seth Fitzsimmons.
Okay. I remember somebody talking on the show about that. Don't you? I vaguely remember that. I'm scratching out the corners of my memory, but that's not the first time I've heard of that. And I think we even had a demo from somebody. So yeah, that's definitely a mainstream tool worth taking a look at. Mm-hmm. The last thing I wanted to mention was, let me share my screen one more time here. Is just a reminder, this was a blog post about Quiz Up, and we've talked about Quiz Up on the show before. The bit of news here is they launched a tool for creating your own categories and questions. So up until this point, Quiz Up, you were kind of at the mercy of whatever the company had put together. And they had categories like sports and Bible and, you know, all over the board, crafts, all kinds of quiz quiz-worthy kinds of topics. They had hundreds and hundreds of them. It was kind of fun because what you do is you pick your category and you say, you know, I want to play, and then it goes out and finds somebody also using the app who wants to play in that same category, and it's a contest. But recently, and this was, what's the date on this? About a month ago, QuizUp launched a new feature that allows you to create your own challenges and then share those with friends or the wider global QuizUp community. So you can build your own questions and answers and play them with people. And I'm thinking there's all kinds of applications for this. Could be catechism kinds of things or, you know, anything that you want to do for, you know, in an educational setting that's specific to maybe the text that you're using or the lesson that you're planning. Just kind of a fun way. And QuizUp is free. It's not hard to install. I don't know, Sally, maybe you know if there is an Android version. I know there is an iOS version. I'm not quite sure if there's an Android version. Let me actually look at their site real quick here. Yep, there is. So it's available on iOS, Google Play, Amazon, and Windows Phone. That is amazing in and of itself right there. But QuizUp's a very cool tool, very well done, and very easy to use. So that's good news. So if you're interested in creating quizzes, why not use a tool like this, which kind of gamifies it as well. You're kind of in a race with whoever it is that you're playing to answer the questions first and build up enough points. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, why not give it a shot?
I got an answer for you on your texting question, at least as well as my search capabilities are on the Wells Tech podcast site. And I did find where we talked about group texting ideas, and we have about five or six of them listed from back in May 2014. It was some community feedback, I believe. So Easy Texting, Church Text Pro, Textmarks, Jabber Text, and Twitter SMS subscriptions. So we'll grab some of those links and include in the show notes this time as well.
Sorry, I just made a little more work for you, Sally.
It's okay. I needed something to do. Oh, keep me out of trouble.
I know. You say that every day to me. Just wish we had. I wish I had more to do. Let's move along to the next. Well, actually, Gail tweeted. What was Gail talking about here in Twitter? Wells Tech. Anyone use LucidPress or other web apps rather than Microsoft to produce a church bulletin? And I think she also published that, if I'm not mistaken, in the listserv, correct?
She did, and she got a good bit of feedback from the listserv, so we'll have links to that in the show notes if you want to go dig through. People offered different things, some ideas around just making your PDF perform the way you want it to and doing more with the PDF format itself, and then others suggested potentially using TechSoup to acquire Microsoft licensing for nonprofits, which is very affordable. I don't know that you even have to go through TechSoup to get a great price on Office 365 these days for nonprofits. It's very affordable. Someone else suggested considering something, some of the CorelDRAW line of tools. Corel's been around for a really long time, Martin, and I think the Adobe, Photoshop, InDesign, those kind of things get a lot of press and also have a fairly large price tag potentially, whereas Corel might be more affordable is what the suggestion was. And then someone else did point to Adobe InDesign and the Creative Cloud and the fact that you can get a an InDesign license for just $20 a month. So they have made it a lot more affordable by going with the monthly plans through the Adobe Creative Cloud site. So those are just some of the ideas that were thrown around in response to Gail's question about bulletin design.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with what LucidPress is, I guess I would call that like an online publisher. Microsoft Publisher would be maybe be the equivalent. Adobe InDesign would be the equivalent on the Adobe side, and obviously those come with a price tag. LucidPress does come with a price tag as well. I think their basic single, I'm looking at the website now, their basic single user license is $8 a month. Now there may be a nonprofit discount in there someplace. I haven't looked at that real closely, but I've never used LucidPress, so I don't have a lot of experience with that, but looks like a strong player as well. So,
yep. All right. I think that brings us to my favorite category. Always number one in my book would be things you can do on Pinterest and things that are shared with us through our Wells Tech Pinterest presence. And I first wanted to just share a really nice email that I got from our friend Shelly Carstens. Shelly wrote to say, I have to thank you for the great idea of using Pinterest. I set up a Pinterest account and will use it to pin ideas for the school parents. We have great sites and apps and art and craft projects to do at home and music. I'm sure it will continue to grow. I don't know if I would have thought of it as something to use for groups if you hadn't started one for Wells Tech. So thank you, Shelly, for that kind feedback. And what a great way to use it. I think educational uses is very popular on Pinterest. So I actually pinned something recently to the Wells Tech board just because I thought it was a cool cartoon. It comes from the website adam4d.com. And I'm not vouching for all his theology or all of the things that are here on his site. I just thought this one was really well done, and you can dig through and see, find some others that might be of interest to you. But it's basically talking about the free gift of salvation and how we don't do anything to earn it. And I thought it was really well done, maybe something you'd want to use for illustration purposes in a Bible class or something. I think it's worth tagging. So you can find it out on the Wells Tech Pinterest board.
Very nice. Is that it for Pinterest?
I think that's going to do it for Pinterest. We should move on then to Google Plus.
And we haven't actually left Pinterest because Perry Lund in the Wells Office 365 Schools Google Plus group, which he recently started, I think this summer at some point, says, Sally Draper would appreciate this Pinterest board. And then he notes the Pinterest board, I believe he created as well. Maybe he didn't. OneNote in the classroom. Let me share my screen.
That one's owned by the office people over at Microsoft. So that one actually is curated by Microsoft employees.
Yep. So it's just getting started. They only actually have 5 pins. That's why I thought, well, maybe this was just something he created. But it has over 6,000 followers already. And just some good information about those that would be good for those interested in using OneNote in the classroom, which at Evergreen Lutheran, which is where he is, they are doing that. So it's a very powerful tool. And I use it every day. We use it a lot here in the Synod office. But lots of cool ideas, approaches that teachers are taking to use OneNote in the classroom. If you're not familiar with OneNote, maybe think of Evernote or even something like Google Docs. It's the ability to aggregate content, and with OneNote or with Evernote, you can collaborate or share content with your class. So there's a special OneNote version for education that allows you to do that collaboration. So nice find, Perry. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah. We have another Google Plus community in our Wells circles. It's called Wells Google Schools. And people are constantly, asking questions and sharing information on using Google in the classroom. And recently, Rachel Pearson, as she prepared for the Minnesota District Lutheran Teachers Conference in her presentation on Google Classroom, just kind of polled the group. What kind of things are you doing? How's classroom working for you? What's your best tips and things? And this one really stood out. It was a blog post called Get Your Students on the Same Web Page Instantly. And it features a Google Chrome extension. It is the Share to Classroom extension. And with the extension on your computer and on your students' computers, you can click it and share a web page based on who's enrolled in your classroom and their Google logins and things like that. So in just a matter of seconds, they can all be seeing the same web page as you. And this blog post kind of walks you through how that works and includes a video overview as well. So if you're using Google Classroom, this sounds like one that would be worth taking note of.
Yeah, that really kind of turns presentation technology on its head. So if you've got all your kids, if you're in a one-to-one environment, of course, you've got all the kids with screens in front of them, why not use that screen versus the maybe hard-to-read smaller screen in the front of the classroom when you can send what you need them to be looking at, if it's, you know, a web resource, right to them through a tool like this. So that's pretty cool. I'm just looking back at Rachel's Google Plus post as well. There were a number of responses from a lot of Google Apps users, and one of the recurring themes is something we heard Gail talk about a few weeks back, the ability to use Doctopus and Goobrick with Google Classroom. When we had our Google Classroom podcast, that was one that James Karlofsky talked about. Gail chimed in, of course, and so that seems to be a big win for Google Classroom, is the ability to support those kinds of add-ons as well.
Absolutely. Perhaps time to move on to our email feedback. We love to get email. WellsTech@wells.net is the email address. And one of the favorite for me is when we get email from Pastor Rob Gunther. He's a longtime Wells Tech listener and always has creative things to share from his ministry experience and how he uses technology. And one that he shared was a link to a catechism resource done for iPad. I'm struggling to share my screen here. It's called New City Catechism, and I think I actually went and downloaded the app. I'm not sure because I don't think you can see. Oh, no, there's a link here, Open the Web-Based Catechism. So basically, they structured it around a bunch of questions, and with each question, you get a verse, and you can, you know, read some commentary. You can view a little video of someone explaining it, and then have a prayer associated with it. And there's questions, what's our only hope in life and death? You can tap to see the answer. I think the reason that Rob wanted to share this with us was just to look at it as an example of something that possibly could be developed in our own circles. And it looks like they've done a really good job with it. I wouldn't think this is real difficult. Probably the most difficult thing besides writing all the content is filming these videos. So they have a little video vignette that goes with each of the 50-something questions that are part of their catechism study. So, but I think very professionally done and yeah, something that we should be perhaps considering as we move forward with sharing the gospel in this digital day and age.
Yep, good example. Thanks, as always, for sharing, Rob. And he shared something else, too, didn't he?
Definitely. This was a pretty cool story. He said, we have acrylic sign holders, suction cup to the glass church and school doors, and double-sided tape to the back of our bathroom stall doors. So they advertise things in these acrylic sign holders, like their upcoming Bible class and stuff. They're in the middle of a longer study right now, and he doesn't have a lot of new things to advertise regarding the Bible class that's going on now. So someone actually suggested they make kind of a placeholder to remind people of other ways to stay connected to the Word. And so Rob put his design skills to work, and he came up with Want to Grow Your Faith? There's an app for that. And he actually listed the Wells mobile app, the online Bibles, meditations app, What About Jesus, the catechism, and even the Wells Lutherans on Facebook. So just a good way to promote these different faith-based apps that are available for mobile devices. And he shared this with us. You guys could download it. There's nothing really branded about his particular church or anything. So if you'd want to make use of it on your bulletin boards or in your bathroom stalls, you could do the same. And we really appreciate Rob for his ingenuity and for his willingness to share.
Yeah, he must be busy because he only gave us two in the course of a month. So
that's right. Normally we hear from him a good bit. So we had an email from Bob Bullens. Bob is someone who we've recently connected with through Wells Tech Photo Challenge. So we haven't mentioned that in a few weeks, Martin, probably, but for those of you that aren't aware, we have kind of a year-long challenge going on where we're building royalty-free image library over on Flickr. Let me share my screen and I'll share the library with you. So the concept is that every month we'll announce new challenges for you to go out with your camera and take photos of. This month it's Reformation and fall images that we're looking for. And we actually have received quite a few more than are posted here. Just recently we've gotten a lot of great entries and I just haven't had a chance to get them posted yet. But over time, we hope to build up quite a library of different ministry-focused and generic kind of photo options for you to use on your church website or in different publications, however you need them. We're just posting them here, and they're royalty-free. So Bob's comment to us, excuse me, was that we should consider verse images as part of our challenge. I'm going to have to cough. I'm sorry. So what he said was, have you guys considered having future challenges to illustrate specific well-known Bible verses? I immediately think of Psalm 23. Within that single chapter, I can see multiple opportunities. So we may want to go ahead and institute that in a future month of our challenge, Martin. And you know, along with just generic images, perhaps images that depict particular Bible verses, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, really allows some creativity. You know, people can take those passages, let God speak to them through it, and then how they might represent that in visual imagery might be fun to see what people come up with. I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
So if you want to participate, it's wellstech.wells.net/photo-challenge. You still have, a week and a half or so to get in on the October challenge. Reformation and fall images is what we're looking for.
Very nice. Yeah, and thank you, Bob, for your submission of photos as well. You're filling up a good corner of that area as well. So thank you.
Definitely. Fun stuff. A website that I tagged and wanted to make mention of is the Hour of Code website. They sent me an email recently to remind me that they do this every year where they promote coding around the world. And the specific day that they've targeted for December, or range of dates, is the week of December 7th through 13th this year. So head on over to the hourofcode.com website and get signed up, and perhaps your school or after school organization or whatever it may be will want to participate in the Hour of Code movement.
Very good.
Then, yep, we heard from Rachel Feld. Rachel was one of our presenters at Wells Tech Conference and is a very gifted lower elementary teacher in our Wells schools. And she is now also a blogger for Bread for Beggars. The Bread for Beggars site brings in a lot of different guest bloggers. And Rachel has her own category there, Creativity and Christlight. We interviewed Rachel on Wells Tech earlier this year to talk about her ideas about creativity and Christlight. And I'm really excited that she's got this avenue now to share more of her experience and ideas around using Christlight in creative ways. So maybe you want to bookmark her category over on Bread for Beggars and stay tuned for future blog posts from our friend Rachel Feld.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to dole out some of that knowledge she shared at Wells Tech a little bit at a time with her blog post. So that'll be cool. That was a well-received session that she ran. So that's awesome that she has that new outlet. Wonderful.
Definitely. And then I think we've made it to the end of our community feedback with one last mention. A new friend of the podcast, Timothy Payne from St. John's in Newburg, Wisconsin, wrote to us and said, I'm in a new call and I would like to research E-rate information and find out if any Wells schools are still in that program, if it would be helpful for me to investigate it further. And what we learned was there are two websites to reference for information on E-rate. One of them is from the Universal Service Administrative Company, which I believe is behind the whole E-rate program, and there's an information page that you can find there. And then there's another erateadvantage.com with specific changes that happened to the E-Rate program for 2015 and afterwards. So if you're interested in learning more, you probably want to check out those two websites.
Very good. Thank you to everybody who participated this past month. Keep those, keep that feedback coming. We, if you don't, we won't have this show. So it'd be hard to have a feedback show without feedback. So please take advantage of all the opportunities that we give you, and don't be shy. I'm sure there are things that you do in your ministry that might be interesting to other people. So this is a great way to get that word out and share those intersections where technology and ministry meet. So very nice. We do have our regular segments that we're going to quickly go through. News in tech. A couple of interesting pieces of information here, Sally.
Yeah, came across an article from CNN stating that 4.2 billion people are still offline. So perhaps most interesting to those with an eye to world missions and outreach, and just a little bit of information about the penetration of the internet, and in particular what they refer to as less developed countries, the lower adoption rate that we see there, and the trends for the future as they project out through 2021. So interesting data that they're sharing there in that article. And then also from CNET, there's a new smart lock out on the market, Martin. Do you have information on this? Or?
Well, I know of them, but I don't know a lot about them. I think the way these work, and this is one that I think works with Apple's HomeKit, but there's a bunch of them out there. Schlage and a few others are putting these out. So they kind of replace your deadbolt and or can sit, I think, in some way over or interact with the knob of your door. And then they connect your Wi-Fi. And then your smartphone becomes the way you unlock things. Sometimes I believe they use like near field communication so that when you approach the door with your phone, it automatically unlocks, or when you leave, it locks once they know your equipment is outside the building. These are not cheap because we're in early days. I believe this one, what is it, $229 to try this. But if you actually go into your local Best Buy, if you have one that's close to you, you will be able to kind of kick the tires on a lot of these different home automation features. There's light bulbs. There's, you know, these kind of locking mechanisms. There's webcams, all kinds of stuff. You have to be careful, and it's good to kind of do your homework because they don't all talk to each other. You know, there's different systems, and some talk to each other and some don't. Like HomeKit is one of the late arrivers in the space. And it doesn't work with a lot of things. So just be careful how you get engaged with that and see how that might improve your home experience.
And that ties into that concept of the Internet of Things, I think, is how they refer to that.
IoT, the Internet of Things, where everything has an IP address, everything's connected to your router, and everything talks or should talk to each other. So your toaster will talk to your refrigerator, talk to your water heater, etc. So
the future is here.
Yep.
Rapidly approaching.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Couple of Wells Now mentions. We will talk about the new worship blog that's available on the Wells.net website. So I think it's been many years that the Worship Office has produced excellent quality newsletters titled Preach the Word and Worship the Lord. And now they are digitizing those, turning them into blog posts as well. So they have examples out here already posted, building part singing skills in children's choirs and energizing your audience. So definitely check them out and subscribe to the RSS feed if that's something you make use of, or return for more worship blogs in the future. Nice to have them on board.
Yep.
And then Martin, a little Wells Now news from you as well.
Yeah, I was asked to write a series of blog articles for, what do they call it? Issues in Lutheran Education from Martin Luther College. So they have guest writers, and I wrote my first article. They wanted me to write a whole series on prospect management for schools. So in the first article, I kind of talked about some of the basic options, what it is, why you would need it, and over the next, I think I'm writing one every 2 months now for a 5-part series where I'll go into some of the motivation, some of the do's and don'ts, how to promote or how to collect content for your management system, some of the privacy concerns, et cetera, et cetera. So a wonderful opportunity that they're giving me to kind of talk about something that is very important, I think, for schools today, the ability to manage the, you know, the potential new students and their parents in a database, and then ultimately, what do you do with that stuff? How do you better promote your school through this database? So,
good stuff, Martin. Sounds like we should have you on for an interview sometime.
Yeah, that'd be good. I can probably do something on like Tuesday at 4.
Okay, perfect timing. Excellent. Time for some picks of the week, and I will lead off with a pick that came across my desk just recently from a site called Copyright Coach. I hadn't specifically heard about Copyright Coach, but I had heard of CCS, which is Creative Copyright Solutions. And this Copyright Coach is an offshoot of that, I believe. And what they are offering are some free webinars coming up over the next several months, starting with one next Wednesday titled Unmasking Scary Copyright Myths. It's led by this lady, Susan Goodwin, who's listed as the founder of the Copyright Coach website. And she says, what exactly is a myth? Webster defines it as an idea or story that is believed by many people, but that is not true. And there are a lot of different ideas about what churches can and cannot do with copyrights without getting permission. You'll discover the truth about many common copyright myths, including if I use just 10 seconds of a song, I don't need permission. Or we may stream our worship music online without a license. Or fair use allows us to change the lyrics to songs without permission. And she lists some others. I signed up for this webinar. I think copyright is something that we can always learn a lot more about, just to make sure we're doing things as legally and in line with the requirements as possible. And so looking forward to it. It's over the noon hour, so you could do it as kind of a lunch and learn next Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, Unmasking Scary Copyright Myths. Coming up in November, she's tackling 7 Secrets to Understanding Fair Use and the Religious Service Exemption, and then in December, the 12 risks of Christmas, so that your Christmas service comes off without any copyright problems. I will definitely let you know how it goes, but I'm expecting that this will be useful information, and perhaps you guys want to join me for the free webinar. So check out the links in the show notes to Unmasking Scary Copyright Myths. Interestingly, our friend Gail just today asked some copyright questions around streaming their services. And so maybe this is a good thing for Gail to sit in on as well.
Yeah, and there was a response to it. It was too late to get into the, you know, feedback section, but yeah, we can report on that as well. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, we'll look forward to your report, Sally. My pick is a new blogging platform. What's interesting about this is it's kind of a cross between, it's called Medium. Medium.com, Medium.com. It's kind of a cross between a blogging platform and a social network. So it's not Facebook, it's not Twitter, it's not WordPress, but it's something in between. So I had heard a lot of buzz about this, so I decided to give it a try myself and take a swing at writing an article as well. So I shared my story of my class ring, which I shared, I think, last week maybe with you guys. I don't remember. But anyway, that article is here. So I did a little write-up. There's a little picture of my ring. that I hadn't seen for 37 years. Still don't actually have it back yet. It's evidence. So once the trial is over, whatever, I might be able to get it back. But he did send me a picture of it, so I at least look at that. But anyway, the point of the pick is that when you post your blog on your own site, you're expecting kind of a come and see strategy. You know, people have to come to your site, know to come to your site, read your blog, be interested, you know, whatever. The concept with Medium is it's an aggregation of millions of blogs. And then it's tagged and sorted and searchable. So you're actually posting your content where the people are and potentially getting more readership that way. And it seems to be working for a lot of people. Obviously, some of the same things apply. And I guess I wouldn't say throw out your own blog, but I would say maybe syndicate your content from your own blog to a place like Medium. The tools are fairly simplistic. It's not, if I click in, I think I can click into my article here. It's a nice, you know, visually attractive interface. It's fairly simple, and then you can give it tags so that as some people are, you know, browsing around, they may come across your content. Google will, of course, search it as well. And because Medium is such a popular site, that it may crop up higher in rankings, but it's very easy to edit it and add photos. You can embed video, you know, all the same things that you could do with a WordPress blog, for instance. But there are apps on your phone or tablet that you could use to make this more portable, I guess, make it easy to do. You can start it there and finish it on the web, etc. But I was just interested to see how it worked. And I think I'll keep it up. I'll still use my own blog, martinspriggs.com, but I think I'll cross-post here. And you can also post from here to your social network. So write the article here, publish it in Facebook and Twitter, so you get that kind of cross-promotion as well. So just thought I wanted to highlight that for everybody as a pick. It seems like it's a very popular site. And if it takes off, maybe it's something you want to consider being at.
Always good to stay on top of those tech trends. I kind of like to get comfortable and not change. And the world changes around us, so we got to
go
stay
where the
on
people
top of
are,
things.
Right? And you got to be on the right channels. So, all right, yep. Let's go to speaking of the comfortable and the, you know, not changing. We're not going to change our ministry resources section, although there's some new stuff in it.
There is. We've talked before about the YouVersion Bible app and their app for kids. Bible app for kids, it's titled. Now there's a Bible app for kids storybook Bible. So this is actually a paper book that you can buy over on Amazon. Hardcover price is $9.15. And it just goes right along with the stories in the Bible app for kids, which I know we previewed that once, Martin. I think you even shared it on your screen. There's only select stories. It's not the whole Bible, but they add stories over time and things. So this is the book they can sit down with and do activities and read more and just enjoy more to go along with those Bible stories that are in the Bible app for kids.
Yeah, so looks to be well made. We can't vouch for the content, so if anybody out there gets their hands on it, please give us a review. We'd love to get more information on it. But it sounds like a neat idea to kind of marry the digital with the physical, you know, kind of a keepsake thing, and then you know, sit down with your 4-year-old in the evening with the book in front of you. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I think I have enough to type. We do have a video, so we'll add that to the show notes. We actually have more than one. We have two videos, a conference call in real life and email in real life, both things that we can relate to, I bet.
Yeah, they're kind of a parody. You know, they really have nothing to do with ministry other than that we use conference calls and emails, you know, in ministry or for ministry. But basically, they're caricatures of the experience. So if you've ever been on a conference call or sent an email, I think you'll absolutely relate to these. Actually, very well done, very funny YouTube videos. They're about 5 to 7 minutes, and basically playing out these experiences as if you were in the same room, despite the fact that these are tools that you use for distance communication. So you'll want to take a look at it. We put them in our presentation-teaching videos playlist. It's pretty funny.
Fun stuff, definitely. All right, so that's it. That's where I draw the line. No more links, no more video embeds. That's all we can do for one show.
We do have to tell them what's coming up next week, though, because Mr. Sunshine is joining us, Jason Schmidt. What's he going to talk to us about?
Well, Jason promises to tell us about classroom management with technology. I think that means how to discipline your class and technology tools that help you do that. And I just bet Jason does it and comes out sunny in the end with all his students. So I'm hoping
Mr. Sunshine brings the hammer. So that will be next week. So stay tuned for that. Again, Tuesdays, 4 o'clock Central. WellsTechLive.wells.net if you want to join us live and hear Jason talk about how to use technology to manage the kids. So that'll be cool.
Looking forward to it.
Sally, thanks for all your work on this. This was fun. What did you think of our first community feedback one?
It's kind of anything goes. We got to learn about a lot of neat things in a lot of different areas.
All over the board. So if you didn't pick up something throughout the course of this last hour, then we'll try and do better next month. But give us, you can correct that because you can contribute to the show. So thanks everybody for joining us. We're really happy that you decided to do that and hope that you'll tune in again next week. Bye-bye.